Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to dream on? Do you know how to fly high and soar among the clouds? Get ready to live adventurously, because the Laura Meeks Show starts now. Listen as Laura lifts you off the ground while teaching you how to fly high. Forget ground-level drama and be prepared to confront your dreams head-on as she encourages you to navigate towards your North Star and into what just might be the best life you've imagined. Dream on. Live adventurously on the Laura Meeks Show.
This is Laura Meeks. It's another exciting Wednesday. It's high noon here on the West Coast, and I welcome you to the Laura Meeks Show. Today is going to be absolutely fabulous. So my starting question is that for you who are out there listening, have you ever felt like you were faking it, that you had your mask on, that you were going to work, you had this persona, but it just really wasn't you? And I think that happens to all of us a lot of the time. I think as you get older, you get better at designing who you really are and who that is. And so the topic of today is authenticity and trusting. And in my intro, I talked about trusting your instruments, meaning trust the insides, trust your gut feeling, trust your intuition as to who you are. But we're going to chat today. I've got with me Carol Davis is with us today. Say hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi, there she is. So here's a quick bio. Carol Davis is a published author of Changeless Change, which is a great book. She and I have done some radio together, and I absolutely love the book. She's an actor and a spiritual guide who is able to express her ideas refreshingly clear, unique, and in creative ways to demonstrate her compassion, her insights about life. That sounds just like me, right? So Carol's going to be with us today, and we're going to talk. We want to talk about authenticity and what that means. To kind of go deep into. Oh, and before I get started, just to let you guys know, this is going to be interesting. And if you want to connect with me on this subject or other subjects, you can always get a hold of me, flyhighliving.com. That's my brand. And then if you want to connect with me, you can get me at laura@flyhighliving.com, or you can call my office, which is right over there, 888-666-1570. And I'm happy to connect with you, because there are a lot of opportunities I'll tell you about at the end of the show, ways that you can use this information about authenticity to improve your life, which is kind of really the whole point of doing a show, is to connect to you, my audience, and say that, hey, there's some interesting things that Carol and I have learned in life and that we want to share with you. And I think that all of those things are an effort so that you can lead a better life. Abraham Hicks always says, why do you want to do the things that you want to do? And her answer is always because you feel better in the having of them, right? And so there's a lot of things in life that we might feel better in having. And one of the topics that came up and that's near and dear to my heart is authenticity. So those of you who've been with me before realize that there is a certain aspect of my life that is authentic I started out, my earliest career was as a macho male pilot in the Air Force. As I was in the Air Force, I realized that I actually had this unique blessing that I call my gender blessing. And as time went on, I switched from being a macho male pilot, presenting myself as a macho male pilot, and now presenting myself as this gorgeous life coach that is in front of you right now. So I have learned that this vision that you're seeing right now is my authentic self. And I think that I bring to the world an interesting example of what authentic self can be. But that brings me to Carol. Carol and I have done a lot of work together, and we've chatted a lot, and authenticity is part of her life as well. And so I invited her to be with us today to talk about authenticity. And now, one of the first things, Carol, that you and I had chatted about before the show was is that for us to even talk about authenticity, part of that is we have to kind of define what that means, not only for me, but for you. So in your life, tell me what authenticity means to you.
Well, it's not, everyone I would say would have a different definition, right? But it's be in alignment with my true beliefs, my core values and my true beliefs. And because I've done a lot of inventory, written inventory, uncovering, discovering, discarded, you know, like you would take in a store. I've done, learned a lot about myself. I've done a lot of self-searching to get to this place where I know who I am and where I'm going and what I want to do. It's taken a long time, but I think what happened is I actually knew that when I was a small child. I think I was born knowing, because I can remember as a small child, just having this sense of what I was going to do. And I didn't know the words to use when I was five, although I learned to read when I was two, and I was reading encyclopedias and dictionaries when I was four. So I was fairly good at expressing myself. But just the quick version is, you know, periodically you just say, you know, like when you ask a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I tell
them.
And I got a lot of the, no, that's not what you want to do. My whole life. No, that's not what you want to do. So I quickly learned to keep at an early age, like 6 or 7, to keep my mouth shut, listen to all the stupid grownups and society, and just dress like they told me to dress, act like they told me to act, and be whatever they wanted me to be. It was just easier. And I had the idea that my dreams and my ideas of how the world should be just had to go in some kind of box and put it away somewhere. In recent years, I've actually come back to that. And it's so exciting. It's like, oh my God, this is my true vision. And, you know, screw the world. I get to be me.
Do you think you have to, when should you pursue that? You know, because one of the questions I think that we all want to ask is why do we care about being authentic? What's the value? Is there some special something that you get when you're authentic that you don't have when you're not authentic? I mean,
I think so. For me, it's just a sense of peace. There's an inner peace and a joy. And it doesn't mean I was miserable my whole life. I've done a lot of fun things in the name of pleasing other people. And I've made a lot of money in the name of pleasing other people. So it's not that I was given bad advice, but it was just somehow I learned, and I don't think anybody meant to teach me this, but learned at an early age that any idea I had was wrong. And I thought by the time I left home at 16, it was like, if it occurred to me to turn right, then I would just automatically turn left, knowing anything I thought of, anything I felt, was a lie. So being authentic is then when I started to learn that there was value to my ideas, that the feelings I had, and maybe I was like 27 when I started learning that, hey, there's nothing, I don't have to let the world be in charge of me. I get to start being a church. And I'm 74 now, so I started that journey at 27 to listen to me.
Yeah, it's funny. Annie, when she was growing up, my wife Annie had a sister her constant mantra was, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. You can't make me do that. Now, this is interesting. I took this off the internet, and it has kind of a punchy ending. Why be authentic? Well, it might seem obvious, but it's not after all. We live in a world that thrives on inauthenticity. Traditional jobs run on office politics. News feeds feed on false information. Celebrities pretend to be real people. Brands curate fan pages. Even our friends put on nice faces or say what we want to hear to keep us happy. We don't need to belabor the point, but it's important to realize how much of our lives are driven by bullshit, which is the lack of authenticity.
Yes.
And so there is a certain amount of BS that goes on. And so I do think that part of the value to me of pursuing being authentic is that one of the things that I've had a note here on some of the benefits. One is this, and I think this is for me a big one. It's so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I found, and in my experience, one of the things that was kind of an interesting to do was I lived for a long time as a guy. And then there was this spot in the middle that I want to say was almost 8 years where I was half-time female. So I at home and around people who knew me, I was Laura. But when I went to work, I became Lawrence, and I would teach computers as Lawrence. And one of the things that I found is that's incredibly hard thing to do. It takes a lot of energy to bring and keep a false front. And so if you're the kind of person that has to portray that you know everything at work and that nothing ever phases you and that you're in charge and you know where everything is going, that takes a lot of energy. So in some regard, it is kind of helpful when you become authentic because it's just easier. And in my life, one of the things that I found was that for me, that the energy that I have now freed up as Laura is immense because I don't have to wake up and think, okay, so who am I going to portray? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? Now I just wake up and put on Laura clothes and I put on comb Laura's hair and I go to work as Laura and I don't even think about it. And I think most people don't get that. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to pursue this idea. And one of the things that I want to bring up is the conversation that we had about the movie Pretty Woman and how Pretty Woman actually has a lot of lessons to teach us about authenticity. It was an interesting movie. This is Laura Meeks. You're listening to Laura Meeks Show, and we'll be right back.
If you have a sense that you are meant for more, join Heather Allison every third Tuesday at noon Pacific as she explores an ancient, forgotten energy within us and helps us access our original archetypal blueprint. The Golden Path will help you remember the key to unlocking your life, love, success, and magic you were meant for. A key to unlocking your Golden Path. Visit heather-allison.com.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all parties and all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Gen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Gen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Gen.
Has your buzz for life buzzed off? Feeling ignored, invisible, and wondering if this is really all there is? The years go by faster as we gain momentum. You're halfway there. Are you gathering speed or puttering out? Hit your stride for the liberating half of life. Comfortable in your skin? You can do better than that. Tune in to Discovering You Again Radio every fourth Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific as host Susan Axelrod encourages listeners to decide what they want, get inspired to action, and face challenges head on. Host Susan Axelrod pulls no punches, encouraging you to grab the brass ring and soar. For more information about Susan, go to www.whatwillyourlegacybe.com.
Loves that intro. Thanks. You're listening to the Laura Meeks Show. This is Laura Meeks. I'm live here with Carol Davis. We're talking about authenticity today. If you want to get a hold of me in any shape, fashion, Laura at Laura Meeks. Laura at Fly High Living is my email address. And if you want to call me, which is on that phone right over there, 888-666-1570. The topic of the day is authenticity. And one of the challenges I think that everybody faces as we go down this road of authenticity is that you start your life and it's interesting to me. A lot of my work deals with helping people overcome the paradigms and the training that we learned at the beginning of life. So as you and I were talking, that, you know, one of the challenges is as we're born and we're starting to live our life, it doesn't take very long before mom says, if you do this, I'll give you that. We have this very strong carrot stick approach in American culture as to what you need to do to get to the spot that you want to get to. And the training is very strong, and especially in women culture, to please other people. So then what we learn is that if you suppress your authenticity and you do what I ask you to do, then you will get the rewards that you want. Now, one of the things that we were talking about is what does it mean to be authentic? One of the things that you brought up in and I want to go back to is representing one's beliefs. So I think if you're going to be authentic, that one of the things that that you're presenting to the world is that when certain things happen, you're driven from internal beliefs rather than external beliefs. So the common thing, and tell me if this didn't happen, did your mother ever say, oh, what do the neighbors think? What if you do this? Well, what do the neighbors think? What's that about?
Well, that was the number one rule in our house. Everything centered around. She didn't really care what I did as long as the neighbors didn't know about it. If they did, it had to be good. Yeah, number one rule.
Well, and so much of that is where we learn to be inauthentic. So it's kind of a weird world that we grew up in. It was a conforming world. Is that to get along in the world that you have to act this way. When you go to school, you have to wear these clothes and you have to act this way. Now, tell them the story about parting your hair. I think that was an interesting thing that you learned when you were in barber school is where to part hair.
Yeah. Wow. So I guess forever, it meant way back when. It's not today. If you're young, you won't even know what I'm talking about. But years ago, men, little boys, mothers always parted the little boy's hair on the left and the girl's hair on the right. Not sure where it came from. I didn't learn that part, but it just was.
That was the was.
And it was until John Wayne came along. And John Wayne was being John Wayne. And someone noticed that his hair was parted on the right.
Oh my God, you're John Wayne.
And he was confronted by it. You know, why are you, he goes, well, because that's where my hair seems to want to part. Yeah, but you're a boy. You have to part it on the left. No, don't tell me where I'm going to part my hair, John Wayne. So ever since John Wayne had his hair parted on the right, it's been okay for boys and girls to part their hair wherever.
Yeah, well, and it's funny, I think in hindsight, and you're right. I mean, my kids and the Gen Xers and millennials are like, what do you mean you have to part your hair on a particular side? that's just a little bit of history to say that we've come a long way, baby, from the norms and the conformity of the 50s and the early 60s to then going into nonconformity. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, so I was post-hippie phase, and there was a certain nonconformity that happened in that. But it's interesting to me when you think about what does it mean to be authentic? When am I exhibiting authentic behavior? And I think part of that comes from living from your core values.
Exactly. Which part in my ear, I'll part it wherever I want, you know, and knowing that difference of, I just lost a thought. Absolutely. It was like, because being authentic is doing what I know is right, not what you tell me is right. That's, you know, so that's a fine line because.
Well, and it is a fine line. And I think one of the challenges that we all face is that this years and years of conformity behavior of, you know, when you go to school, you take a test. If you give me the information back in the way that I want it, you get an A. Right. If you sit in your chair long enough, you get a star. If you're, you know, if you do it enough, you can be the, in my case, many, many years ago, be line leader. So you could be the first person in the boys' line or the first person in the girls' line. And that was a coveted spot to be. So those are things, those are rewards that you get for conforming. And I think one of the real challenges in life is the fact that we are going down this road and we start conforming until we lose who we are.
Exactly.
Now, can you ever remember, I have one, but I'll ask you, can you remember a time where you tried to be somebody different that is like, okay, so this is not me. I'm going to try to act differently so that I can be liked.
I've done it over and over and over my whole life. I don't even know where to start. Which story? I've done it so many times.
Can you pick one?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll give you one. You think of one while I'm telling this story. Well, one of the things that I found when I was in high school, I had a cousin, Peter. And he was the guy to be. He was funny. He had longer hair. He wore really cool clothes. I guess in some regard, to me, he seemed like the person that was very socially liked. Everybody liked him. Everybody loved his jokes. Everybody did that. So one of the things I found is that as Peter would come over, I would study what Peter was doing. And then after a while, I would start acting like Peter. I would, you know, walk like Peter and talk like Peter and try to say the same jokes that Peter said until my brother came, literally almost slapped me upside the head and said, "What the hell are you doing? You can't be Peter. Peter's Peter. You have to be you." And I do think that there are spots in life where you start testing your authenticity as to, you know, is this me? Is, you know, I'm going to try wearing these kind of clothes and see what that looks like. I'm going to try to part my hair on the other side and see how that goes. Or I'm going to try to be funny and see how that goes until you finally figure out who you are. So in your life, how do you find out who you are?
For me, it's only been in recent years, you know, that I've even dared think about the truth of me, because the truth of me was shoved down so far that when we were talking earlier, I said, you know, at a very early age, I just shut up and started watching the grown-ups, all the stupid grown-ups, and watching, and all the time thinking, who wrote that stupid rule? In fact, I'm working on another book right now. It's called Who Wrote That Rule?
Who wrote that rule?
Because there's who knows who makes these rules? I mean, it's endless. That's why I'm writing a book. So I just stopped thinking about what was right, what was wrong. Just kept shoving any idea about me and my dreams, because they were all wrong. I just knew it. I knew it so much that I never tried. I did most of my life until like maybe 20 years ago, exactly what you were doing with Peter. I just would join. I could fit into any group because I would just sit there and watch how they dressed and watch how they talked, and I would imitate them. That's all I ever did. I spent the first 30 years of my life imitating others.
So now, slowly. I mean, you're
yay, I'm me.
You're in your 70s, and you're telling me that for 60 to 70 years you lived inauthentic.
Well, however the world told me to live, yeah. And terrified that any idea I had was so totally wrong I couldn't let anybody know it, because I kind of was always the person that just would blurt. You had to tell me the rules, because like if you said, Carol, what do you think of this dress? I mean, I didn't know people lied about stuff like that. I'd say it's ugly. You know, I would just, and they'd say, no, Carol, that's not the right answer. And I'm like a childlike still. What do you mean that's the wrong answer? You ask me a question and I can still get in trouble for just saying the truth of what I feel. You asked me a question. I gave you the answer. Now you're telling me it's wrong.
Well, and one of the things, and when we come back, we're going to take a quick break here. But one of the things I find very interesting is how long that all of us conform to this idea that I need to be somebody different so that I can be accepted, so I can get a job, so I can be popular, so that I can make some money, so I can be something for somebody. And it's not till late in life for many people never ever happens. So when we come back, one of the things we'll come back. We never even got to the movie. So when we come back, we'll talk about the movie, but I also want to talk about how it feels now. Okay. Because I think people need to know how beautiful it feels to be on your own. So you're listening to Laura Meeks. We are going to continue our quest for authenticity. And so stick with us. This is the Laura Meeks Show.
Do you want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hey, this is Laura Meeks. Welcome back to Laura Meeks Show. We're testing our cameras here, see how close we can get to you and be real. This is Laura Meeks. We're on the Laura Meeks Show on Transformation Talk Radio. It is Wednesday, about 12:30 in the afternoon. A gorgeous sunny day down here in Palm Desert. Not quite so sunny up in Seattle, where our producers are. Before we started the break, part of what we were talking about is how long people stay in this inauthentic spot and then come to a realization that there is value in being authentic. And we talked about part of it is just it's easier. In my life, when I was authentically Laura, then that frees up all my creative mind
right.
to do so many other things. And so in that part, easier is better. It makes for much clearer relationships, much clearer communication. But one of the things that I want to tell you, because during the break we were talking about what it feels like when you're inauthentic and what happens when you're faking things. And so there was a list, and it was interesting because part of what you were talking about was your humor that you had in the early days, kind of a Don Rickles deprecating humor, maybe self-deprecating or being hostile to others. So here are some characteristics, by the way, of what people are like when they're not being authentic. One, they're self-deceptive and unrealistic in their perceptions of reality. Reminds me of a president. I know part of the challenge of being deceptive is that you're creating. It's very much like our, and we'll go into this in a second. People are often disappointed when they meet actors because they know them like Tom Cruise from being in this action hero, and then when they're in real life, not like that. They go like, "Well, that's such a lie. They're not like that." And well, it's like, they're actors. That's what their job is, to be different. Here's some other things. They look to others for approval to feel valued. That's a big one. You know, how many times have you been with people or said yourself, "Do I look okay in this dress? Do you like this shade of lipstick? Do you like my hair? Do you like..." And the sad challenge of that is you can ask one person, they'll go, "Yeah, this looks great." Or somebody says, "No, that looks ugly." And then how many times somebody said, "Well, that doesn't look good on you." And I'll give you a real clear example. These glasses, I love red glasses. For years, I would go to the glasses store with Annie and my daughter Shelley or other people, and they go, "Oh no, I think, you know, rimless, or I think this," and I go, "Yeah, okay, I'll do that." So one day, I go to the glasses store with nobody with me, and I'm like looking around. It's like, "I like those glasses, those red ones," and I came back and, honestly, this is me. And it is so funny that once you authentically choose something, then people go, "Well, I don't like red glasses." Like, tough. I love red glasses.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, and humor, hostile sense of humor. When you're faking it, when you are not the real authentic you, then your humor goes towards that.
Good point. Yeah.
Angry humor. You know, it's like, "Well, that looks horrible. Yeah, you look great with bald hair." So, you know, now tell me humor was that way. Tell me how that's changed now.
Well, like 40 some years ago when I decided to change my life and started on my journey back to me, the true me.
Yeah.
Which, as I was telling you earlier, I had no clue who I was because it had been shoved down. So people were guiding me to listen, start, but I had no clue. But I knew about the humor. The one thing I knew was I had to start treating people differently. I still was going to be a long, long time before I knew who I was. But I did know that I no longer could hurt people. I was really set on, and that was part of the humor. So I decided, well, I'll just never be funny again, because if I couldn't rip people apart, then what? I didn't know what else was funny. I had to be taught simple things like that. So I wasn't funny for a number of years. And in recent years, of course, now I'm a stand-up comedian, you know. It's, but it's fun. It's not hurting anyone. It's, in, you know, making people laugh. Well, they laughed before, so that's not good. But that was in the bars.
Yeah. Well, and one, yeah. One of the things that came out in your book, Chainless Change, in there in your early life was is that you were on a quest to find the rule book.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us about the rule book and where you eventually found
Okay. So I left growing up. I knew that what was happening in my house was not real life, as I had just so many ideas that I kept a secret, that it was just wrong how they treated people. It's wrong what they were teaching me, but I didn't know what I was supposed to know instead, but I knew that was wrong. So I left home at 16 with a bottle of tequila, and I said, I'm going to find the real rule book. Everybody yeah. knows how to do life but me. That's how I felt like. Everybody knew how to do life. I didn't know everybody was faking it too. I didn't know. So for the next 11 years, I searched around the world. You know, I did a lot of things. I had 28 jobs in 5 states. I got chased by police in several countries, locked in communist countries. So I experienced life, but I never found the rule book. Then I came back, you know, finally. Then I moved to a park bench in Boston Common. So for a while, I lived on a park bench and ate out of garbage cans. And then I got rescued by a group of people that said they're going to teach me how to live. And so what I found out then through that was the rule book, to make it long story short, they taught me how to start finding me. I don't know what they're talking about, but there were a series of exercises and written inventories and just learning how to live differently. I found out the rule book the whole time was in me. But see, I'd been living a life where I had nothing below the neck. I didn't know. I knew about words like love and joy and peace and serenity, but I had no feelings ever attached to those words. They were empty words that I used to manipulate people. And I was starting to feel things. Feel like the first time I felt love, I was 30 years old. And I go, oh, I think that feeling what they talk about that love thing is. And so that's how. And then I just kept learning, uncovering, discovering. And I realized that this, what I was doing, was the journey to the missing piece, which was me, which is what I found in here, in my heart. Oh my God, another person lives in there. And that's who I am today.
Well, and I want you to, one of the things that we talked about in the break, and I want to kind of share with the audience, is that when you become authentic, it changes how you're experiencing life.
Yeah.
So in the land of inauthentic, and we've all been there, it's very calculating. It takes a lot of time and an effort, and it's not as fulfilling, I don't think. Now, recently, you've actually found
nirvana.
Nirvana. So tell them how you feel now. Tell me what the feeling is now that you feel you've found authenticity.
Oh, it's just pure joy. I mean, it's everything. It's joy. It's love. I love myself. I love everything I do. I love people. I just love everything. Because I'm finally, okay, so I'll try to make it short.
Yeah, talk about what you do during the day and why that's.
Whatever I feel like doing. App on or app off. Because I drive for what I do for money is drive Uber. It is the fulfillment of a dream that I never knew was possible. And the dream is, no one's going to tell me what to do, like what to wear to work or what not to wear to work, time to get up, what time to go to bed. Now, I realize that I sound like a spoiled rotten brat saying that, because there has to be these rules. Like, you own a company, you have to tell people when to come to work.
Yeah.
But so I knew it was a secret dream that I just want to wake up whenever and I want to do all this stuff, but I still want to make money. And I just want to be good to people and give people things. And just like a fairy tale. Okay. Yeah. I knew it was a fairy tale. Well, that's what I'm doing now. But it was a series. I was eliminated. You know, first of all, I retired from my big career. So then, and then I've got thrown away by a few jobs, thrown away by people. And every time something was taken from me, I got closer to being my dream. And that's what driving Uber is my dream. I work 8 to 9 hours a day driving Uber, but it's my choice. App on, app off. That means when, if you know about Uber, when I push my app on, I'm available. If I push it off, I'm not. I don't have to answer to anybody. I don't have to have excuses. I don't have to justify anything. I wear my pajamas if I want, or I could wear a and I'm nice to people. And that's the, I wanted to carry the message of how to live life, the truth of how you can live authentically. And I wanted to do that with the world. I wanted to take it to the streets. And that's what I'm doing in the Uber car, besides all the outside stuff of getting up when I want. The passion, the thing that really brings me joy, is helping people find the light. But I don't push it on people. They ask me, well, how do you come here so happy? Oh, glad you asked.
Glad you asked.
And it's my car has become the vehicle to share my message of joy and peace and authenticity.
Well, and I think one of the interesting things about that is that for a long time you had a passion or a desire or part of the authentic you was that you want to share a ministry of sorts. Of the things that you've learned in this incredible life that you've had so far and share that. And you had a chance to do that through the Spiritual Center for Spiritual Living, a little bit of a box there. And so you found a way to authentically share your story in a way, at a time and a place that works for you. And the value is that by finding this, not everybody's going to see the absolute joy of being an Uber driver, but for you at this time, that has everything that you wanted. So I think that's an important part, an important thing for people to see the joy in your heart. Well, when we come back, I swear that we're going to talk about Pretty Woman. We'll start with that because there's a lot of lessons in Pretty Woman. We'll end our show with this idea of authenticity with the Pretty Woman. So when we come back on the Laura Meek Show, this is Transformational Talk Radio, and we will be right back. Hang with us.
Are you feeling stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a healthy relationship filled with inspiration? You might just be on the verge of attracting your soulmate. Tune in each month to The Laura Richer Show, where dating coach Laura Richer and co-host matchmaker Peggy Bennett share tools for using your dating breakdown for a relationship breakthrough. For more information, visit richerhealinghypnosis.com.
Despite all efforts, is your pursuit of emotional freedom not going so well? Are you still stressed and anxious? It must be getting harder and harder to work on these issues. Meet Dr. Friedman. His breakthrough seminar may be the solution you have been looking for. It provides you with the insights and tools to reopen lines of inner communication, address deeper subconscious roots of your challenges, and discover how self-compassion can truly quiet your fear.
What medicine and research taught me is that we have all unlimited potential to heal, grow, and thrive.
So learn more at drfriedman.com. That's drfriedemann.com. And tune in to Dr. Friedman's Empowerment Radio every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. for even more ways to live your life with courage, integrity, and trust in your own counsel.
Has your buzz for life buzzed off? Feeling ignored, invisible, and wondering if this is really all there is? The years go by faster as we gain momentum. You're halfway there. Are you gathering speed or puttering out? Hit your stride for the liberating half of life. Comfortable in your skin? You can do better than that. Tune in to Discovering You Again Radio every fourth Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific as host Susan Axelrod encourages listeners to decide what they want, get inspired to action, and face challenges head on. Host Susan Axelrod pulls no punches, encouraging you to grab the brass ring and soar. For more information about Susan, go to www.whatwillyourlegacybe.com.
Hmm.
Are you ready to create a life you'll really love? Then you'll want to tune in to the hit show Life Design Radio, From Adversity to Awesome with Susan DiLorenzo, live each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. No matter where you are in your adversity story, Life Design Radio has got you covered. Get ready to feel inspired, enlightened, and motivated. For more information about working with Susan, visit SusanDiLorenzo.com.
Back. This is Transformation Talk Radio. You're listening to Laura Meeks Show. This is Laura Meeks that you're looking at. My guest is Carol Davis today. Real quick, just want to let you know that part of the fun of my life is sharing and helping people find their vision and find a path in life that would lead you to bring your unique gifts. So I have a mission. My mission is to help tens of thousands of people bring their unique gifts. So I think we all have a unique gift inside. And if I can help you do that, that's my mission. And I have five core values. I'm not going to go through them, but we did talk about being authentic because there, I know exactly what my core values are. Some of it is having fun, which is, this is part of having the fun. But for those of you that are out in the audience, if you go to flyhighliving.com, there are a number of things that I can assist you with. I have a really great special right now. My Flight Plan for Life, which is a four-week course, a chance for you to work with me to come up with a written statement of where you want to be in the next couple of years. Normally that's $275. And if you email me in the next day, 24 hours from this show, then it's on sale for $199. So that's a value for you today. I want to go back because we only have a couple of minutes. We promised that we were going to talk about the movie Pretty Woman, because we found that there's one of the questions that we were talking about before the show was who would represent in from movie land or from actors, somebody who would depict authenticity. And kind of my feeling was John Wayne in my era was a guy who, you know, really was a straight shooter. He represented the Duke and the guy, you know, the guy that would shoot straight. But then the movie Pretty Woman came up because there's a lot of interesting things about Pretty Woman and a quest for authenticity, because Richard Gere plays a character who was kind of a hardcore business guy. He and his lawyer were taking companies, merging, selling, you know, busting them apart, selling them off, making a lot of money. And then he meets Julia Roberts. Now, interesting, one of the things that we talked about was authenticity. She was a streetwalker. And anybody who starts to see the movie has a mental image of what a streetwalker is. And throughout the movie, one of the interesting things I thought was is that she always presented herself authentically. And don't you think that her behavior changed Richard Gere?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of being authentic, how I know that I'm being authentic now, I don't think I really answered that before you've asked me, sir, is because why I feel so clean and joyous at the end of the joyous all day and really clean at the end of the day is because I've been able to share my message, my way. That's earlier when I said I get to do whatever I want. That kind of sounded like a spoiled, rotten brat, not the truth. You hire me to do a job.
You are a spoiled, rotten brat.
I've worked for a lot of companies, and I am paid to do a job. I do exactly what they want me to do. I don't do my own thing.
Yeah.
What I meant by that was sharing my, like, I always, since I was a little kid, I wanted to help other people find the light, the dark, go from the darkness to the light. I want to share that kind of message. So I've been to ministerial school. I've studied religions, but always, no one ever would let me share my heart. And that's what I meant today by Uber driving. I get to, when someone asks me a question, there's nobody superior to me that's telling me, no, you can't say that. You have to say it this way. You know, and so I've tried a lot of church. They're always telling me. That's why I quit ministerial school, because they want to tell me how to be a minister. No, I'm going to share my truth, my way. You share your truth your way. And that's how come I feel authentic now. Because finally, for the first time in my life, I'm sharing my message my way. That makes sense?
Yeah. No, it does. And, you know, this is kind of when we go back to the movie, you know, I think what was interesting is that by Julia Roberts being authentically her. So she meets Richard Gere. Richard Gere needs her to be different. He needs her to dress up. He needs her to be this gorgeous woman on his arm for all these social occasions because he's making all these business contacts. He doesn't really have time for a real relationship. And so he hires her to kind of be the doll on his arm. But all throughout the movie, she's authentically her. She's funny. And she constantly is asking him, is that really who you are? Is that really who you are? It's like, hey, well, yeah, of course. And I think back to some of the interesting things when she's in the restaurant and she flips the little escargot out of her thing because she doesn't know how to do it. And the thing that really endeared the client to Richard Gere was not Richard's staid, fake persona, but her authentic, like, never done that before. It was that authenticity that attracted him in the end. And in the end, you know, Richard Gere, in the end, makes a real change to become authentic because she said, are you really about just ruining people's lives for the money? And his lawyer was, yes, that's who we are. And he finally, in his heart, says, no, that's not who I am. And I think that's kind of the message that I want to bring forward today is there are lots of examples and lots of ways to say this. But somehow, some way, you have to start examining your values and your life. And you have to start making those decisions, like you said, Carol, from the rule book. And the rule book is not out here. We always look to see, you know, what's the rules of this game? What's the rules at work? What's the employee handbook say? What do you know? Who do I have to be here? But in reality, what you really are trying to find are the rules that you play by.
Right.
You know, as a transgender woman, if I'm at work and somebody says something derogatory about the LGBT community, whether it's not so much what they say, but the action is then in my ballpark to react from my values. Do I stop and say something? Do I correct them? And then I think the other piece of that is you have to have some internal values about people. So one of the things that you talked about earlier was the fact that early on you had this deprecating humor, this negative humor. And a lot of people have that, and it kind of comes from the angry part of you that says, you know, I'm angry because I have to be somebody wrong that's not authentic, and I'm going to point out all your inauthentic parts. So we're just going to, you know, go down that negative road. But I think one of the interesting things that you have indicated is that you could be funny and cut people down, or you could have a value for people. You could value what people think and do, and then share humor from that spot as to where you care about people. That's an internal value. And that you want to still be funny, that's Carol. Carol's funny, but you can be funny in a way that cares for people.
Right.
True?
Right.
True. And I think a lot of what you were saying too was that, you know, as you're driving around and sharing things with people, you're sharing it from your heart.
My heart.
Heart. Well, that's gonna wrap up our show for today. That time really flies. Carol, is there a way that they can get a hold of you, or do you want them to contact me?
Oh, either way, they can call. Give me
your email address.
DSRTDAVIS@gmail.com. And my book's on Amazon, by the way.
Yeah. So I'll pull this up. Changeless Jane, This is on Amazon.com.
And my website is changeschange.com.
Okay. Well, and this is Laura Meeks. We're on Transformation Talk Radio. And it's been an incredible day talking about authenticity. I will see you in 2 weeks right here at noon on Wednesday. And with that, I'm signing off. Remember, dream on, fly high, live adventurously. That's how we do it. Laura Meeks, signing off. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Laura Meeks Show. Dream on, fly high, live adventurously on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you'll join us next month as Laura helps you find your unique gifts so you can bring them to the world. For more information on Laura Meeks or to listen to past shows, visit her website at flyhighliving.com. Check out her hit Dream On 12-week course, where you get the personal attention you need to fly high in your new life.